Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Everyone, welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a slimy friend of ours, because we are covering the so wonderful frog. This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Catherine. And Catherine is Joe's mom. So I hope you enjoy your episode, Catherine. And thank you so much for writing in to the show, Joe. This episode would not have been possible without your recommendation, and this show would not be possible without each and every one of you out there listening and keeping me such great company as we go into the different habitats and learn about all these different sorts of animals. So I know that we have covered the poison dart frog already, but we have yet to cover frogs in general, which is what we are going to do today. So some episodes are more general, some are more specific, but regardless, the frog as a whole is something that is so interesting, as I learned when I was just doing some of the research. So this episode is coming out on a Tuesday instead of a Monday. I am trying to figure out the best schedule between my jobs to record these episodes and to go into these habitats with you guys. So I appreciate all of your patience. Again, I am unable to give updates as to what's going on with the show, particularly because the Instagram page is sort of locked out, or rather, I have been locked out from it. So if anyone out there has any connections to Instagram or knows how I can regain access in the shortest amount of time, please write into the email and let me know. So if you want to learn about a particular animal, you can either send a message to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com, or in a normal circumstance when I have access to the Instagram page, you can also follow and send a message to relaxwithanimalfacts on Instagram. So let's go straight into the review of the week, which is coming from Harry S25, who wrote in on Apple Podcasts. And Harry wrote all the way from Great Britain. And Harry writes, "I just found this podcast, and as an animal lover, it is amazing that I can relax and get ready for bed and learn about animals. Would definitely recommend." I am so happy, Harry, that you enjoy the show as an animal lover and as a podcast lover too, I suppose. I always get very grinny and stupid looking reading these reviews, as some of you long-term listeners and even some of you new people out there that have just started listening to the show, you will learn to discern my voice when I am smiling with a big stupid grin on my face or when it is just sort of flat. But I am usually smiling, which is what makes that task may be a bit more challenging. If you love the show and it has helped you to relax or to learn, and you want to show your support for the show, leaving a review on Apple Podcasts is one of the biggest things that you can do. It is, of course, not necessary. And for those of you that don't listen on Apple Podcasts, say on Spotify or Stitcher or wherever you listen, you won't even have the ability to leave a review. But just the fact that you come every week to keep me such good company, no matter where you're listening, means all the world to me and to the show as well. So if you want to leave a review, I encourage you to do so. If not, I am so happy that you are still here to join us every week. So before we get into the portion of the show in which we are waiting for, I am just going to say where I got my facts from, because without these websites and without these facts, I would not have been able to make this episode. So I got my facts from amnh.org and livescience.com. If you want to visit those resources, I am going to leave them in the show notes where you can click on them and sort of read on if you would like to learn more. They also have many other animals and topics, so I encourage you to go look into those if you want to learn more. And let's get straight into the show. So now I want all of you to notice where you're carrying some of the tension in your body. It might be in your head, in your shoulders, or your neck, or your back, or even your legs. It really is different for everybody. Today, for me, it feels more like a sort of shoulder tense day and some of the legs. I've been on my feet so much recently, so I've just been sort of getting used to that kind of work. But after you have noticed where you're carrying some of that tension, I want you to do your best. You don't have to force it or anything, but just do your best to try to relax those parts of your body which you feel are tense or you notice are tense as we go into the rainforests where the frog resides. So the first fact of the episode is going to explore sort of the broad term of frog. So what are frogs really? Frogs are amphibians that are known for their jumping abilities, croaking sounds, bulging eyes, and slimy skin. They live all over the world and are among the most diverse animals in the world, collecting more than 6,000 species of frogs. And maybe that term amphibian is something that you're not necessarily too familiar with. Or maybe you've heard it so many times and you never really thought about what it meant. Well, according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, an amphibian or amphibious organism is any of a class of cold-blooded vertebrates, intermediate in many characteristics between fish and reptiles, and having gilled aquatic larvae and air-breathing adults. So it's sort of this intermediary or middle stage between fish and reptiles, and that makes amphibians super cool, especially in their developmental processes. And frogs specifically substantially outnumber the other two groups of amphibians, which are salamanders and caecilians. According to the American Museum of Natural History, That's the AMNH website. As of late April of 2015, there are 6,482 species in the Anura order, which includes frogs and toads. And we'll get into the differences between those a little bit more into the show. While there are 691 species in the Caudata order, which includes salamanders and newts, which we've covered on the show, and 204 species in the Gymnophiona order, or Sicilians. If you're wondering what those are, Sicilians look like fairly large worms or slick snakes, according to the San Diego Zoo. They will have no arms or legs and live underground in a network of tunnels. So we see here that when frogs are crowned as being one of the most diverse animals in the world, it is something that is very reputable and is quite evident when you look at these numbers. Because as we see, after there being 6,482 species of frogs and toads, the next group of amphibian over only has 691 species. So we see here that is something that makes the frog very unique. And the world's largest frog is the Goliath frog, which is a very apt name. And that frog lives in West Africa, and it can grow to be about 15 inches and weigh up to 7 pounds. So we are talking about a frog that can grow to be more than a foot long. Now, I'll tell you that if I woke up in the middle of the night and saw a over foot long frog on my bed, I would spring up and just probably run to the next town over. It's sort of funny that even a frog, which really doesn't get my nerves going too much, it doesn't matter which animal we talk about, when you imagine them to be very large, it really changes your perception of how you would react. I guess maybe not so much with dogs or puppies, because I don't think there would be any size of puppy that would really become scary to me, but a very huge frog might do the trick. And one of the smallest is the Cuban tree toad, which grows to 1/2 inch long. So we have a frog that is more than a foot long and a toad that is about 1/2 inch long. So we see just how large and diverse this range is. And while the lifespans of frogs in the wild are fairly unknown, frogs in captivity have been known to live more than 20 years of age. And given some of their relative sizes, this is a fairly long lifespan. And so, toads. What really are toads? Toads are indeed frogs, and the word toad is usually used for frogs that have warty and dry skin, as well as those characteristic shorter hind legs. So when individuals say toads, they are frogs, but they do look different than your typical frog that might come to your mind. And let's talk about the physiology of the frog. And that word, physiology, what does it really mean? Well, physiology, as coined in the 1560s, was described to be a study and description of natural objects, or like a kind of natural philosophy. And the word physiology can be broken up into its root words of physio and logi, or logi, however you want to say that. and it comes from the Greek word physiologia, which means natural science or inquiry into nature. The word physios means nature, and the word logia means study. So it is sort of the study of nature or inquiry into nature. So whenever you hear words such as physiology and anatomy, sometimes it can be really helpful to know what its root words are and where they come from, because you see it in other things as well. As we know, physiology isn't the only ology out there. So knowing that logia means to study or study of, that can be quite helpful in determining what words mean. But with the frog's physiology, they have excellent night vision and are very sensitive to movement. The bulging eyes of most frogs will allow them to not only see to the front, but also to the sides and partially behind them. So while the frog doesn't have eyes at the back of its head, it can see a bit to the back of its head, and this is going to provide quite an advantage when it comes to survival and sustainability in the wild habitats which it resides in. And when a frog swallows food, it will pull its eyes down into the roof of its mouth in order to help push the food down its throat. So how would you like if your eyes would sort of be used as an auxiliary mover to get food down the throat? That seems very odd when you try to kind of impose a frog's physiology onto the human body. So I am very glad that the frog has this amazing quirk and we don't. And researchers say that frogs were the first land animals with vocal cords. Male frogs have vocal sacs, which are pouches of skin that fill with air, and these balloons resonate sounds like a megaphone, and some frog sounds can be heard from a mile away. So a frog doesn't necessarily have to scream at the top of its lungs, or rather its vocal sacs, for you to hear it. You will be able to hear its ribbits just fine. So while we like to walk and ride bikes and even drive cars now, frogs like to get around using their long legs, which will be used to propel themselves and leap more than 20 times their body length. When I think about frogs, their leaping ability certainly is something that comes to mind. And any of you that have children out there, or I'm sure as children, you have played leapfrog. And I actually know some adults that I still see doing leapfrog here and there. So we can see that we have taken a mechanism from the frog and used it to sort of have fun and pretend that we're frogs as little kids and, as I said, some adults. So we have talked about a mechanism known as mimicry, or a mechanism in which animals will deceive outsiders by pretending to be something they're not. It can be a very powerful mechanism, but in the case of us as humans, I don't think pretending to leap over each other like frogs would provide much of a survival advantage, although it would be a fun way to go. But anyways, let's move on. The Costa Rican flying tree frog will soar from branch to branch with the help of its feet. The frogs have that characteristic webbing which will be in between their fingers and their toes, and it will be used to extend out and help the frog glide in the air, which is just so cool. And we talked just now about the mechanism of mimicry. One that is not too far from that is the mechanism of camouflage. And that is one, I'm sure, that is a bit more well known. So while we might use camouflage for tactical purposes in the military or other sorts of settings, the frog will use it as well to blend into the environment. The Budget's frog will be a muddy brown color, which will allow it to blend with its background and stay undetected. And then you have other frogs, such as the Vietnamese mossy frog, that has spotty skin and bumps to make them look like the surrounding little clumps of moss or anything similar. And many poisonous frogs, such as the golden poison frog or dying poison frog, are boldly colored to warn predators of their dangerous, toxic skins. So while to us, really colorful frogs might just look very beautiful and interesting, it is there for survival reasons. Some colorful frogs, such as the Fort Randolph robber frog, have developed the same coloring as a coexisting poisonous species, which would land it in the realm of a mechanism of mimicry, where they will take on the appearance of another kind of animal to increase their chances of survival. So although these frogs don't have toxic skin, their mimics may gain protection from predators by looking like their dangerous counterparts. And that is just so cool. And like all amphibians, frogs are going to be cold-blooded. Now, this doesn't mean that their blood is necessarily icy cold, but their body temperatures change with the temperature of their surroundings. So when temperatures drop, some frogs will dig burrows underground or in the mud at the bottom of ponds, and then they will hibernate in these burrows until springtime, completely still and scarcely breathing. So we, as human beings, are warm-blooded, and we have to eat constantly and provide our body's energy as our body uses that energy to warm itself up and keep our bodies at an optimal temperature. The frogs, however, as we see, are quite different. The wood frog can live north of the Arctic Circle, surviving for weeks with 65% of its body frozen. This frog uses glucose in its blood as a kind of antifreeze that concentrates in its vital organs and will protect them from damage while the rest of the body freezes completely solid. Isn't that just incredible? So many of the species and different animals that we cover on this show really provoke a sense of awe in me, and I'm sure in many of you. We are talking about an animal that is able to utilize glucose as an antifreeze to keep itself alive during some of the coldest temperatures that I've experienced here in Canada, and I'm sure much colder. The Australian water-holding frog is a desert dweller that can wait up to 7 years for rain, and it will burrow underground and surround itself in a transparent cocoon made up of its own shed skin. So these are just some examples where the frog can survive some very extreme conditions. So for the final fact of the episode, let's talk about the word frog? Where does it come from? Well, the Old English froga is a diminutive of frosk or forsk, frox, which is all sort of this frog word, is a common Germanic word, but with different formations that are difficult to explain, but likely comes from this sort of root idea of the word hopper. So that is very cool. Some of the etymologies of words can be challenging to trace, and I'm sure for some researchers can be quite a pain to try to discover. So I have learned some pretty amazing things about the frog, and I am so excited to get into more frog species in the future. If you have any animal that you would like to learn about, it can be very specific, it can be very general, please feel free to send me an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com, or you can follow the Instagram page relaxwithanimalfacts and send a message to that account. And when I am able to hopefully one day get back into it, I will add it to the list that is ever growing of your wonderful suggestions. Thank you to those of you who make this show possible and make it just such a joy to do. I get so many kind messages from you listeners out there that are so amazing and encouraging that I only hope I can sort of give back to you guys in some way through this show. For those of you that support the Patreon or are subscribed to the YouTube channel where I will be uploading additional bonus episodes that are of extinct animals and whatnot, your support does not go unnoticed. I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the show, and I look forward to seeing you in the next podcast episode with the next animal. Take care.